Please pray with me. Lord God, as we dig into your word today, please encourage and challenge and motivate us to be men and women who will live full, satisfying and fruitful lives in your service. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that our minds and our hearts will be responsive to your call for us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and to love our neighbour as ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's always good to be back in the MacArthur area. I was assistant minister at St John's Camden 25 years ago, so things have changed a bit. This building wasn't here when I was at Camden. And I do enjoy occasionally preaching in churches in this area. With my involvement with refugee work and Anglicare, I'm always keen for Christians to roll up their sleeves, doing good in their community and loving their neighbour. And the parable of the Good Samaritan cuts straight to this. As I talk about these issues, some Christians are a little bit suspicious about promoting good works because they see that as a distraction to the gospel of grace. And sure, good works will not save you. Only the grace of God through faith in Jesus. That's the bottom line. But loving our neighbour is something that is to characterise the Christian life. We are God's workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And loving our neighbour encompasses all human relationships. I think it's helpful to distinguish between gospel proclamation and good works or godliness. And sometimes your neighbour will be a fellow Christian and you don't need to share the gospel with them. They already follow Jesus. Other times good works will be to somebody who doesn't follow Jesus and you may get an opportunity to point them to him. It's a bit hit and miss, I know sometimes, but there's a richness when the two go hand in hand. When your good works lead to the opportunity to share your faith. The following teaching in Luke chapter 10 gives an example where Jesus, it appears that no good deed is done in vain in this parable. And it reminds me of passages like in Matthew 5 where Jesus says, "Let your light shine before others that they may glorify your Father in heaven." Or in Galatians 6, where doing good deeds to all is like a farmer sowing a taste of God's goodness, giving a glimpse of kingdom values, an invitation to knowing Jesus. I love those occasions where I'm able to speak about the faith that motivates me toward good works. But in our post-Christian society, there are many ignorant people who I walk my dog regularly with a couple who have never been to church and know nothing about Jesus, and they ask the most interesting questions. But in our post-Christian society, other people carry so much hurt, and they're cynical because of those hurts, or they have other beliefs. And it takes more than one occasion of kindness to earn an open ear and trust. So we need to keep on keeping on loving them and doing good works, loving our neighbour. Now, I was really encouraged during the Bible reading. I heard so many Bibles open and pages turning. So if you're not open at Luke chapter 10, verse 27, you might do that now. We hear about Samaritans in these verses. The Samaritans back in the New Testament were a despised people. They were racially different. When the Assyrians invaded and took people into exile, some were left in the land and they intermarried with foreigners from Assyria and other peoples that the Assyrians had conquered. So they were a bit of a mix. So they were religiously compromised, ethnically compromised. They only accepted in the Samaritan religion the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses. And they had a different centre of worship. And you get the drift when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well in John 4. In Jesus' day, the word Samaritan was like a swear word. It's like some Christians think towards Muslims today. Interesting, Muslims follow the books of Moses as well. There's quite a few similarities with Samaritans. No doubt these prejudices contributed to the disciples in Luke 9, just the chapter before. They wanted Jesus to call down fire from heaven because this Samaritan village hadn't welcomed them. Pretty strong prejudice there. In our society, it's flipped. The word Samaritan, as we know, describes someone who helps other people, and it's from this parable that Jesus told. It's interesting how the Bible is understood in our culture in various ways. So how did Jesus use a parable to turn this despised Samaritan into the hero of the story? Well, here we have a religious leader. He's an expert in the law of Moses. He's come to test or badger Jesus. And Jesus has just been talking about judgment and names written in heaven. And in verse 25, he asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And you might have expected Jesus to answer, "There's nothing you can do. Salvation is by grace alone, and it's found in me." Or Jesus might have said, "Admit your sins and turn from them, trust in God and find forgiveness and learn to obey." But Jesus takes another tack. And he asks a question in return. Remember, he's talking to an expert in the law. So he asks the guy, he says, "What's written in the law?" And the man answers, "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and your neighbour as yourself." And apparently this is a fairly standard summary of the law at the time. And you can see in the CSB Bible's footnote that loving God and loving your neighbour comes by joining two verses from Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18. Jesus affirms his answer and says, "Do this and you will live." Really? Is Jesus affirming salvation by works? No. Jesus is leading him to a point. And I think that point is, if you truly love God, that presupposes belief and faith and relationship with God. Not any God, but the God of creation, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Loving God will frame your life. And there's implications for how you live and how you treat others. It's a little bit like Paul in Ephesians 4, after talking about the grace of God and the amazing love of God. In 4:1 he says, "Live a life worthy of the calling you've received." Let your faith in God manifest in how you live. But this man is testing Jesus. He wants to score points. He wants Jesus to say something that will either gain him kudos, or maybe he can use it against Jesus later on. So he asks, "Who is my neighbour?" And maybe that's our question too. Who is my neighbour? Because you, like me, the tendency is to constrain. The tendency is that we think, well, I've got limited money. There's safety issues in helping some people. Some people take advantage of us. I don't have the time. There are many good reasons. Sometimes we just want to do the minimum. Anyway, Jesus dives in with this story, this parable of a Samaritan traveller who shows neighbourly love to a Jew who's been robbed and beaten up on a remote road between Jerusalem and Jericho. And you can see that on the screen there. A Samaritan? Jesus is provocative sometimes. I love it. You can see what the road is like today. Back then it was a goat track. In terms of distance and fall, it would be like travelling from Katoomba to Penrith, down that windy road, but a desert road with twists and turns where travellers were exposed to dangers, dangers of robbers, dangers of the elements, and as we see here, dangers of prejudice. And in Jesus' story, this Jew is lying almost dead on the road, anything of value, even his clothes have been taken, and likely help was not forthcoming from his own countrymen, the priest and the Levite. They passed by on the other side of the road. Maybe they were fearful for their own safety, maybe because of religious rules, they were worried about being defiled and unable to serve in the temple if they touched a dead body. Either way, these men showed a failure to love. Along comes the Samaritan. Funny enough, he's also a lawkeeper. Leviticus and Deuteronomy are in his religious canon. But he shows love. Despite his own prejudice against Jews, despite risk to his personal safety, despite financial cost, despite a disruption to his own time schedule, he's the one who shows generous love. Pretty amazing. So asks Jesus of this expert in the law, who was trying to trip him. Who do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The guy can't even bring himself to say the word Samaritan. So he says, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus closes the conversation. This is a real quick reply. Go and do the same. Go and do likewise. Tim Keller says it like this. He says, we instinctively tend to limit for whom we'll exert ourselves. We do it for people like us, for people whom we like. But Jesus will have none of that. By depicting a Samaritan helping a Jew, Jesus could not have found a more forceful way to say that anyone in need, regardless of race or politics or class or religion, anyone who God brings across your path is to be considered your neighbour. Loving your neighbour is the expression of your love for and faith in God. Let's consider what it means to be a neighbour. Jesus showed neighbourly love to many people, didn't he? Sick and crippled people, people with all sorts of needs. And we see his love most magnificently at the cross. Consider us before we found forgiveness in Christ, before we put our trust in him and his saving work on the cross. We were figuratively on the road, dying, needing mercy. And Jesus laid down his life to rescue us. Think of Palm Sunday. We remember Jesus walked that same Jerusalem road. It's the road between Jerusalem and Bethany. It was the same road as the parable. He walked that road knowing he would soon be beaten and killed. And his resolve was to save us by going to the cross. And I think when we make this connection, we get more Jesus' command for us to love our neighbours. Pretty radical, but it's the call Jesus has for us. And with his example, and knowing that Jesus has our back, we can be the kindest, most generous, most forgiving, most creative, most innovative, most risk-taking people on the planet. Yeah? Think about it. Like when I used to hitchhike around the world, my parents used to worry, and I'd just become a Christian. I was pretty insensitive, but I said, look, I can only die. I go to Jesus. I'm a bit more risk averse now, but you know, the risks we take, we're middle class evangelical Christians, and we're pretty risk-averse most of the time, aren't we? We play safe. Jesus says, hey, step out. Love your neighbour. We can't do everything. We do have limited time and resources, but we can be willing to do that which God lays before us. Go and do likewise. Go and do the same. That's verse 37. Show kindness and mercy to your neighbour. Opportunities will be there every day. If we have the eyes, the ears, if we have the heart to notice, and maybe if we pray each morning that God will help us to notice and attend to those opportunities that he has prepared in advance for us to walk in. So we recognise the opportunities when they arise. It's a great way to learn to be responsive to the Spirit of God and to grow to be the people that God wants us to be. It may be a kind word to someone in your street, maybe a meal for someone who's sick. It'll certainly involve supporting this church with your time and your money as you serve together to bless this community and beyond. It'll mean showing faith, putting aside prejudices. It'll involve grace and kindness and generosity and mercy. And you know what? We get better with practice. We get better with practice. It becomes second nature. This is the way of the kingdom. This is the way of the Good Samaritan. I wonder if the reason we hold back on spending our life in this way is that we don't quite understand how fundamental loving our neighbour is to our spiritual health. Let's return to verse 25. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The guy asked Jesus right at the beginning. We might assume that this is a question about the afterlife. What happens when we die? But the translation eternal life here isn't primarily referring to the never-ending life after we die, but it's speaking about the life of the age to come. A life of fullness, a life that Jesus calls us to live now. When Jesus says he's come to bring life and life in abundance, John 10:10, he speaks in the present tense, not the future tense, the present tense, which involves the future. The life of the new age starts with Jesus. Eternal life starts when we start following Jesus. And loving our neighbour is integral to this full life. So when Jesus said in verse 28 at the end, he says, do this and you'll live, he isn't saying good works will save you. He's saying that loving God and loving our neighbour is the life of the kingdom. As we live this way, we give the world glimpses of a better life, of a better world, of a world as individuals, and corporately a world that our church gives people a glimpse of God's kingdom rule in our lives. And that is countercultural, but it's pretty attractive to a world that is beset by loneliness and confusion, without hope. What we offer is something very attractive. So I invite you, as Jesus said in verse 37, let's go and do the same. Exercise our faith in this way. Now, Anglicare can help individuals and churches to love their neighbour, and there are so many services. You can see them out back. I'm only going to touch on two today. But we do divide our services into those headings of equip, connect and love. We run all sorts of churches, we run all sorts of courses in churches to equip people, whether it be pastoral care or domestic violence awareness or mental health awareness, things like that. We connect people to our specialised services. A lot of that's in aged care, but there's counselling and domestic violence. There's all sorts of things. And up front in the community, many loving services, including food services, cross-cultural services that we'll hear a bit more about later. But we'll see a video in a moment on Anglicare's foster care and adoption program. And that's pretty exciting, I think, as an expression of loving our neighbour. And then Jim will interview Imran and Alia about some exciting work that your church might partner with the church in Liverpool South. But first, foster care. Let's let the video do the talking.
Hi, I'm Marichelle.
And hi, I'm George.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Christine.
I'm Ben.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Oliver.
We are long-term foster carers with Anglicare.
And we're long-term foster carers with Anglicare.
We also do respite care via Anglicare as well.
And we're foster siblings.
At the moment, we're in the tail end process of adoption.
Knowing Jesus personally and his love for and compassion for those who are in need has been a big motivator for us to open up our home and share love and care and compassion towards children who need it the most. After our kids were a certain age, about 5, we thought we're ready to open our family to foster kids, and here we are.
George and I have been trying to have children and we weren't able to. We've been through a lot of heartaches, and basically he just came up one day and said, why don't we try fostering?
Well, you know, we prayed to God and asked for ways we could serve, and this is what was put into my mind.
I have always wanted to be a mum. By the time I got to my early 30s and still single, I decided I'd do foster care. My name was Hope, which was very touching, considering all through that process, my friends and I in my Bible study group had been praying that God would give me the right child at the right time.
I always come back to a verse in the Bible about whoever welcomes this child welcomes me. I thought, yes, if Jesus said for us to do that, then let's do it.
No aspect of parenting is straightforward or easy. Foster care is no different. If you've got a home, if you've got a room, if you've got the capacity, then definitely do it.
There'll be a lot of ups and downs, but it's all worth it in the end.
Do you like your family better with Sarah or before Sarah?
With Sarah, because there were 2 spare chairs on the dinner table and now there's only 1.
That's pretty cute, isn't it? 2 spare chairs. If you've got a spare chair at your dinner table, you might want to think about that as well. It is a risk, and we are risk averse, but there's one way that we can really love people, isn't it, and really make a difference. So, anyway, I'm going to invite Alia and Imran to come up the front. And once again, I try the magic trick and it just works. Now, for the record, in case you're wondering, there are over 100,000 Pakistanis living in Australia, and Ernest Bowen knows all of them. Okay, so this morning I said to Ernest, I've got a treat for you, and he goes, oh, Imran! Yeah, so I've got nothing. Okay, but anyway, it's great to have you with us. Let's start with Alia, so I'll just bring that down for you. So Alia, tell us about yourself, your family and your background. How'd you come to be where you are now?
First of all, good morning, everyone. I'm Alia, and we have 3 kids. God bless us with the 2 boys and 1 girl. My daughter is in the middle, and they are all going in the Thomas Sesser School. You know, like all are in a high classes. And I'm doing a childcare worker. I think it's a big blessing for us. My God bless us with the blessings of God choose us for the work, and I'm also blessed, our kids are also very, related with the God. And they also love to share the word of God with the others, with the friends. And God give us this opportunity, so we got choose both of us. Not only Imran, even he choose, a whole family. So, and when we visit and at my work placement, and if we visit some other cities, so God choose us to share his word with the non-believer peoples. Even I have some people at work placement. So I also share with, I feel it's a very big blessing for us. And I also just share with Michael about this, like, and one other lady. It's a big blessing. We are here. We are a chosen people. God sent us this word for others. So I think it's a big blessing for us. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank Thanks, Alia. And friends, that's scary, right? So she's brave. Thank you, Alia. Appreciate that. Let's ask a couple of questions to Imran then. So Imran, tell us a bit about your background as well and how you come to be here now.
Good morning, friends. It's a privilege that thanks Jim and Michael gave us this opportunity that we share about Liverpool South Ministry here. Me and Alia, we grew up in Catholic from Pakistan. And I came in 2008 as a refugee and then joined 2009 Liverpool South Anglican Church. And I attend PTC course, learned about the Bible. The Bible is all about the cross, and we don't need any assistance to talk with, communicate with God. So after that, church gave me many opportunities to attend some seminars of the Bible, men's ministry in Katoomba, and other things, and God put both of us in our heart that how we can serve our community and how we can return to our community in Pakistan. So God opened the door for us, and we become a partner with the Anglican Aid, and we are running one school in Pakistan. That's the primary school, and that school is also about for marginalized community of Muslims and Christians. And this school is giving us opportunity that how we can introduce Jesus there. It's hard in Pakistan to share the Bible, but the school and other activities is the easier way, the strategies that how we can share the Bible verses over there. And this is then the next step start. Okay, God give us opportunity to share, but I think I have to learn the first word of God too. So I started Moore College in 2021. And then 22, Alia becomes sick, and she has some foot problem in the nerves. She's not able to drive now. So then the one program come at well training, and God put us there that I trained for the theological study from the well training. This is the two-year diploma, so that I do that and ready for the ministry. So this is a little bit about me.
Yeah. And so this program you're doing at the moment, it's called the Well Program?
Yeah.
And so the Well Program is a way that you can incorporate theological study with some work?
Yes, some work,
Yeah, fantastic. All right, well, tell us a little bit about Liverpool South, and why is it good that you're at Liverpool South as opposed to me being at Liverpool South? What do you bring to the table?
Yeah, that's what you are doing, that's amazing. And I think God chose you here. That's why you are here. And what we're doing in Liverpool...
He's telling me stay here.
But why I am there? Because from 2009 till today, I'm there. And the God gave me opportunity from 7 years, I'm doing the food pantry. And we do every Tuesday over there. And the community in Liverpool South also... when we remember the God's Great Commission, go all the nations... And this is opportunity that instead of we go all the nations, and God giving an opportunity, the nation is coming to us. And the Liverpool Southwest area is that the many Afghanis, Pakistani, and other Middle East people are coming. And the Liverpool South on Tuesday, we do the food pantry and share the gospel with them and share the food with them. And today's message also, we becoming their neighbor, that how we can show love as Jesus show his love first to us. So this is what we're doing. And my job in Liverpool South on Tuesday is I have the group, and I have to share the Bible story with them. And the group is including Muslim and Mandian, and one is Pakistani family. So while they are waiting for the Anglicare food pantry, I share the Bible story with them and ask them, can I pray for you? What you are struggling today? One of the illustrations that there is a lady from Jordan. She's very well educated, and she's coming to Anglican food pantry for 5 years. And she asked me, I love Christianity, but the thing is Christianity is not love to women. Oh, I was very shocked. But God's great, and I show the Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The salvation is through the woman. And she was so impressed and so emotionally she crying because Cron didn't told us about that. Cron is not telling about Eve. He's just talking about the Adam. So this is the one thing, the good thing why I'm doing, because the people, these are, God loved them, and they're still seeking the salvation. They're still looking the true God who is we worship. Yeah, that's the reason I'm doing that.
Fantastic. All right. So you interact with people from Muslim, from Hindi, from Sikh kind of background. So you've got experience in all of those.
Yeah. So the reason, Jim, that God blessed us we are both are from Punjab, Pakistan, Punjab. And there is one Indian, India, Punjab also, where we're blessed with the Hindi. Hindi is similar with like Urdu, and the Punjabi language is our mother tongue. And English is my second language, but still God blessed us. So that's the reason that Punjabi culture we understand. In Kausaba, as you know, that the early Sikh community settled there, and God gave us opportunity. From last year, we are going time to time over there, and there are many, more than 2,000 Punjabi Sikh there over there. And we're sharing the gospel with them. Before we start there, and somebody asked us, can you do that South Asian ministry over there? And we went over there, and there was only two believers, and the one was the priest of the temple, and God, Jesus encountered with him, and he became a believer. And now, by the grace of God, there are four people. This year, two more become believer. So that's why it's a blessing of the many languages. Mm-hmm. And God love all the nations.
Yeah, fantastic. God does love all the nations. I just want to keep reiterating that we really want to raise up not just white ministers, right? We want to raise up ministers from every nation as well. Yeah, from every nation to reach every nation. And so we have the opportunity as a church to partner now with South Liverpool. So you may know that previously we've partnered with Sadlier Church with some of their work there, but that's no longer possible. The worker there is no longer there. And so now Anglicare have asked us whether we would consider partnering with these guys. And so what we would do is the money that we give as our parish council would go to Anglicare to support the work in South Liverpool, to support the work that these guys are doing in getting the food pantry and connecting with people and seeing people come to Jesus Christ, right? So that's what they've asked us to do. So I'm going to take that to parish council. So if you want to harass our parish council members and say, hey, get on board with this, that's completely fine, okay? So I won't stop you. Anyway, thank you both. How about I just pray for the work?
Yes, that's...
Yeah, and we'll commit to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for the chance to share in your ministry all around the world. And Father God, we thank you for those people in Coffs Harbour who came to Christ. We thank you for the people in Liverpool South who have come to Christ or are exploring your word, for that woman who found that you love women, that your word is good for women. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Imran and for Alia. Thank you for their kids. Pray that you bless and keep them. Pray that you bless their ministry and you bear much fruit through it. And pray, Lord, that we'd be active servants of this ministry in South Liverpool. Thank you also, Lord, for Matt Bales, the minister there, and pray that you would bless his ministry through the work of Imran and Alia. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Thank you, Jim.